Mighty Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all those attending. We thank you for your visitors. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here, present with us, in us, leading and guiding us. And let the words that you've given me strengthen this body of believers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you can guess, I'm the guest speaker. But I've got some shameless plugs that I want to make. First of all, I want to make a shameless plug for our pastor. I'd like to give him a round of applause. Okay? I don't know if you've been following along with the dangerous discipleship, but being a dude, I love the word dangerous. And being led by the Lord, I even more so love the word discipleship. And this leads me into another shameless announcement. Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock, back here in our back room and sometimes out on the side, men are meeting to share 66 BMG. That's men's Bible study. And we're in the book of Philippians right now. And I think we've moved about five verses. So we take our time. We get into the words. Another shameless announcement is for our worship team. And I don't know about you, but sitting in the back, it was glorious. They sounded as if it was a choir up here. I want another round of applause for our worship team. And thank you. Thank you to all. Thank you to Matthew and to Angela. Usually I start these off by telling you how the Lord gave me insight as to what to say on this Father's Day. He really took me down a road that was filled with joy. I mean, really pure joy. If you've never experienced really pure joy, it is awesome. I mean, it's just awesome. I kept getting this really pure joy of being in church, being among God's people, and to feel that energy that comes with that. It is unbelievable. And I can't say that I'm filled with joy every day, some days more than some. It's not necessarily a roller coaster ride, and this is not part of my talk. The Lord leads me off on these rabbit trails. But if you're missing that pure joy in your life, it comes with Jesus. It comes with putting your life in the hands of Jesus. And I can tell you, that joy is absolutely overwhelming. It is. And especially when believers get together. Our God is timeless. He is forever. He's not going away. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what the newspapers say. I don't care what the pundits say. He is not going away. And we've got to have that same resolve. My talk, I listen to a lot of pastors on the radio. My talk is about your real father. We live in a day in which you can learn so much about who did what, when, and where. There's a DNA testing that can tell you who is the daddy or the mother. Anniversary.com can trace your ancestries to see if your family goes back to kings and queens, pirates and buccaneers, or plantation owners. Now, the question we have before us centers on all three of these words in my talk titled, Your Father. The first word is your, which actually means you are, but I'm going to slow it down a bit. It means you. Each of us is a you. not you, but Y-O-U. You are specifically a unique individual among individuals. How unique are we? Let's look at the first unique individual, a man. And let's go, if you have a Bible, or if you got one of those cell phones, okay, because to tell you the truth, the cell phone is a good tool, because you can pull up on the cell phone, whether it's NIV, ISV, NASB, yada, 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 you can pull them all up, and I'm not going to give a shameless plug for any one of these places, but your phone can be more than just, I got to see what's happening on TikTok, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. Use it that way. But if you go to Genesis 2:7, and here's what the word of the Lord says. So the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, breathed life into his lungs, and the man became a living being. Even more so, if you go to Genesis 1:26, and by the way, we have it on slide, and if you'd like to have copies of whatever I prepared, we can get those to you also. Genesis 1:26, God's word. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image to be like us. Let them be masters over the fish in the ocean, the birds that fly, the livestock, everything that crawls on the earth, over the earth itself." Adam was a unique living being, and so are we. It's important to know that God of the Scriptures is unique also. So are his names. The Old Testament prophets sometimes referred to God as Jehovah Elohim, which the King James translators referred to Lord God. Also, to avoid awkwardness and repetition, Lord God was used to translate the Hebrew phrase Adonai Jehovah, which is Lord, Lord, all in caps. The essential use of the name of God the Father in the New Testament comes from the Greek word theos for God, kairos in Greek for Lord, Abba in Aramaic for Father, and again in Greek the word pater, which means Father. But ultimately we will see in John 10:30 where Jesus states unequivocally, he didn't sparse his words, "I and the Father are one." Also in Isaiah 63:16, but you are Father, even Abraham does not know us, and Israel has not acknowledged us. You are he, O Lord, our Father from long ago. Our Redeemer is your name. You may ask yourself, Bill, why are you doing all this? Why are you setting this background about God, Lord, God, and Father? It's because the next two words in my talk, real and Father, it's these two words that I want you to center in on, real and Father. Real to me means going back to the beginning. The first man did not exist without the breath. The first man did not exist without the breath of God, which came from Lord God, which is our real Father. I want to stop right here. As a young believer, my model had always been human. It had been my daddy. It had always been my daddy. It's been my daddy. It's been coaches. It's been uncles and so forth, cousins. I didn't come to realize until after I was saved and really started reading God's word that I have, and you have, each of us, a real Father that breathed life into all of us. Both our real Heavenly Father, Lord God, and our earthly Heavenly Father brought life to us. Both have attributes they passed along to their offsprings. And I've noticed that there's a lot of kids here today, and I think that's prophetic. I think God is saying something to us if we'll listen. It's kids. It's this next generation and the generation after that. It's that foreverness that God has given us through being able to pass things along. I want to highlight just three attributes that I saw in my earthly father that are familiar to those or similar to those of my heavenly father. And let me make it real clear. All earthly fathers, no matter how good they might be, they're not perfect, as is our heavenly father, because of the Adamic nature. That's the nature that gets passed along. It gets passed down. It came through Adam, came through Eve, and it gets passed down to us. We think we can separate ourselves from it, but if you look carefully through the scripture, you'll even see the Apostle Paul wrestling with this. But our real Heavenly Father, our real Father, Holy Spirit, is available to each of us through his Son, Jesus, who is our Redeemer. My earthly father had a long name, and so do I. The only difference is an S and a J. I know how you feel, Brother Steve. My earthly father's name was William L. Brown, Sr. But he answered to a short name, and even shorter names. He answered to Willie Brown. He answered sometimes to Big Willie, even before Big Willie was Big Willie. How many in here really know who Big Willie is? Goodness. Nobody? You've never heard of Big Willie? Who did he marry? Jada Pinkett? Anybody heard of her? Okay. And I can't think of his name, but what was the last movie that he played in? He did Muhammad Ali one time. Speak it up. Will Smith. Well, my dad was way before Will Smith. Because he was born back in like 07, 08. And he was called Big Willie. He was similar to my Heavenly Father in that he was always there for my mother and I. Our Heavenly Father is eternal. Thus, both are faithful, and only one can be everlasting. My father eventually passed away. I will eventually pass away. Each of you will eventually pass away. Have you made your arrangements for eternity? Another shameless plug. If you haven't, think about it, do it. If you go to Psalms 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his gracious love is everlasting. Isaiah 26:4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God, you have an everlasting rock. Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God, he's the living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Earthquakes are seismic events that move the biggest buildings. And it can move mountains. It can level mountains as if they were but toys. This leads me into the second attribute of a father, powerfulness. To your children, you are the most powerful individual that they get to see and experience firsthand. The most powerful one. Yes, mothers are very powerful. But your role as a father is indispensable. You're there to help your children become better children and better men and women. Psalms 98:1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done awesome deeds. His right hand and powerful arm have brought him victory. Ezekiel 20:33, as I live, declares the Lord God, with my powerful hand and outstretched arms, along with my wrath poured out, I'll reign as king over you. To emphasize this, Ezekiel 20:34 states the following, I'll bring you out of the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a powerful hand, with an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. Yes, our Heavenly Father has a powerful hand. But did you notice the second part of that? Outstretched arm. Toward whom? Outreaching. Reaching out isn't a signal of hatred or malice in its usage here. It's that signal the Father had for his prodigal son in Luke 15 as he ran to him. Have you ever seen anybody run? I mean, really running? Do they keep their hands down here? Okay. Seriously, just think about it. You see somebody really running. What are they doing with their arms? They're reaching out. They're reaching out. The prodigal son's daddy was reaching out. Our real Father never stops reaching out, no matter what is going on, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've thought, no matter what you've attempted to think, it doesn't matter. He does not stop. It's also a signal of giving of oneself to another. Giving, that third attribute, giving and giving in generosity. I want to present to you today giving. As fathers, we have a responsibility to our God and to our family. I'll repeat. As fathers, we have a responsibility, a unique responsibility, to our God and to our family. These next scriptures point out that our Heavenly Father, to what our Heavenly Father does for us in both a physical manner and a spiritual manner. As a father or daddy, and I almost titled this talk, Who's Your Real Daddy? But thanks to Brother Eric Sears, he said, Bill, that's really provocative. I didn't know what he meant by that, but it was provocative. You got a new word, it's provocative. Our real daddy provides both the physical needs and the that's our real daddy here on earth and our daddy in heaven supplies us our food, shelter, and safety. We also have to provide, he also has to provide for our families, dads, our wife, our children. In order to provide, you must have it. You can't provide something you don't have. You cannot give unless you have it. Staying in God's word individually is so very important for this. And I wish I could highlight that and underline it and put a big parenthesis around it. Staying in God's word is how you pass it along to the future generations. Because unless you have it, you can't give it. James 1:17. Every generous act of giving and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father who made the heavenly lights, in whom there is no inconsistency or shifting shadow. Fathers, your family needs consistency. Fathers, your family needs consistency. No shady shifting in any of its forms, whether that's be physical, mental, whatever. Most of us don't naturally have that. So what do we do? James 1:5. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke, and it will be given to him. In order to ask, it's best to have a relationship. We had a gentleman come by last night, another little rabbit trail. He was come down Saturday night, Saturday evening, rang the doorbell, and we were in middle of supper. Door-to-door salesman, probably one of the hardest occupations to have. And He came to offer us, quote unquote, a deal. But the first thing that came to my mind, I don't know that dude from Adam. I have no relationship with him. And I really don't have a relationship with the product that he was selling. And I was surprised that he didn't, because my wife, Janice, answered the door. I was lazy. I should have gotten up and run to the door, but I didn't. I'm fessing up. But it's best to have that relationship. And that relationship comes from both time and what you end up talking about. I can say that as a father, it pains me to look back in certain situations where I could have been a better father. I could have had a better relationship with a lot of my children. I pray that the Lord will give me, as he's done, and he will, and I'm asking him for it, and I continue to ask him for it, for that opportunity to have that relationship with my children, at least with one of them. In order to ask, it's best to have a relationship with the giver. Just who is the giver? It's our Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. 2 Peter 1:11. For in this way you will be generously granted entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Messiah. In order to have this relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, today he is offering you this opportunity right now, right at this very moment, to pray to him in full repentance for your sin. Christ Jesus, our Father, will forgive you of all your sins. It's the opportunity for a fresh start with God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even if you have a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you can make it better. You can make it better. You are unique. You are made to be unique. But you, like me, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I can make that relationship better. I can nurture that joy. Allow his Spirit to lead and guide you forward. We're here for you. I want to thank you for this opportunity of speaking with you. And if anyone needs to meet with I or the pastor, we're here for you. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your attention. And I thank you for your prayers. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our leadership team. We are praying for you all. And we continue to pray. Thank you.